नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर सेवन entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, text number 53. Tato haro bhagavati bhaktim kuruta danavaha atma upamyena sarvatra sarva bhutatmanishvare. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear friends, O sons of demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the Super Soul of all living entities. Purport. The word Atma Upamyena refers to thinking others to be like oneself. One can very intelligently conclude that without devotional service, without becoming Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy. Therefore, the duty of all the devotees is to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere, all over the world. Because all living entities without Krishna consciousness are suffering the pangs of material existence. To preach Krishna consciousness is the best welfare activity. Indeed, it is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as para upkar, work for the true benefit of others. The activities of para upkar have been especially entrusted to those who have taken birth in India as human beings. भारत भूमि ते हैल मनुष्य जन्म यार जन्म सार्थक करी कर पर उपकार. The entire world is suffering for the want of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all human beings born in India to make their lives perfect by Krishna consciousness and then preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness all over the world so that others may become happy by executing the principles of Krishna consciousness. My dear friends, O sons of demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the Super Soul of all living entities. Hare Krishna. So I seek the permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and the senior devotees. The chapter is entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. It's been so many years that many of us, we have been practicing Krishna consciousness, and to get convinced of the process takes so much time. What to talk of spreading it to others. Prahlad Maharaj, he learnt everything in the womb, and as soon as he came out, he started preaching. About what? The ill effects of being in the womb, birth, going back to the tomb, death, and worshipping whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Prahlad is, as soon as he comes out, he starts preaching. And here, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually, he is equating satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead to preaching itself. In fact, we hear about achar and prachar, that first practice and preach. But even when we read the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita or so many purports, the very beginning books of the small books of Srila Prabhupada also, when we read, Prabhupada immediately jumps to the conclusion that every one of you must start preaching. Everyone should take up this process of Krishna consciousness. there is less emphasis given exclusively on achar. Of course, practice is not a not to be compromised. But in fact, Prabhupada has always put these two terms together, achar and prachar. In fact, the practice of preaching itself is the practice of Krishna consciousness, which can bring purification, which actually can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Nachatasman manushyeshu kachin me priya krittama. There is no one dearer to me in this world, and no one who can be more dearer than one who actually practices this, preaches this message of the sublime Krishna consciousness to all the people. In the recent scenario where the bomb blasts have taken place all over India and it's taking place all over the world, religion and preaching is seen to be the main cause. And they also, the fanatic religious groups also, they also claim to be preaching the message of the Lord, and they are also calling for so many people, please come and join for the salvation of mankind. Nobody here actually, in the current scenario, nobody actually understands that religion means to actually satisfy the soul. It has to bring joy in one's heart, in someone else's heart also. In fact, one's own practice of spirituality should bring joy and satisfaction to the onlooker also. That is the process. Therefore, here in the purport, Prabhupada mentions the word Atma Upamyena. He says that it refers to thinking others to be like oneself. Thinking others to be one like oneself. Somebody is preaching and he wants to spread the message by killing someone. But here actually one has to think of oneself. How would you refrain yourself? Not by killing yourself. That's not the process. It's actually extending the joy of Krishna consciousness to others. In fact, one devotee from the hospital was telling me a very interesting story. There was one patient who belonged to a hardcore, staunch Muslim family. And she was suffering from abdomen cancer. And she came to the hospital and then she was being treated. And since we have this spiritual care department, so they were taking, they showed her a lot of concern and care also to that particular patient. After some time, she actually got attracted to the devotees. Although belonged to a hardcore Muslim family, she became attracted to the devotees and to the process. She liked them. And because she was suffering from abdomen cancer, after some time it was found out that she would not survive for long. The doctor said that not much life left. So the devotees used to go to her place. The devotee from the spiritual care and the doctors, they used to go there and treat her there in her own house. And when once they went to their house, naturally, like in the hospital, everyone is having a tilak. They have a Vaishnava attire. For an outsider, you'll not be able to make up, they'll not be able to make up whether they are doctors or devotees. In fact, Ridhayanand Maharaj was telling in the United States, in the hospital when you go, you cannot understand who is the doctor and patient. That is the condition. So in our hospital, you cannot understand who is doctor and devotee. Both are same actually. So this devotee, so they went to this patient's place and they were curing her, treating her. Meanwhile, her own sister, she got agitated. Seeing these devotees in tilak, she got agitated. And seeing them, like devotees, once a while they will always speak Krishna and mercy and all these terms. So she got agitated. And without even having developed a relation with them, she started actually chastising them. This devotee was telling for 30 minutes constantly, she was telling that you people are kafirs, you are non-Muslims, you don't, you know, the kafir are supposed, they don't even have the right to live actually, unless they convert them, unless they worship Allah. And so on, she was going for half an hour, completely blasting. No concern also that they are the doctors who are treating my own sister. For just because they were having this tilak. So this devotee very expertly was talking. He heard her for half an hour, and then he said, "What you tell is actually all right. What you say is perfectly all right. Allah is actually the Supreme Personality. He himself is God." And in fact, this devotee himself, he quoted some verses from the Quran. I don't know that verse, but Ya Allah, Illallah, Muhammadur Rasulallah, he said this verse. And in that, he created a favorable environment. When this girl, she saw that this person is speaking from the Quran and actually accepts that Allah is God, she became, her actually kafir fever went down. And she accepted the people that, okay. And they said, how can you say Allah, your people don't say that Ganesh and Shivji is God. He said, no, Lord Ganesh is not God. Lord Shiva is not God. So many devis and devatas, he quoted as many demigods as he could. Because it coincides with our philosophies, demigods are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she had nothing to speak. Oh, really? And then she said, then how about Krishna? He said, yes, exactly. Krishna actually says in the Bhagavad Gita that Allah is God. He says, Matta Partaram Nanyat Kinti Jasti Jananjaya. There is nothing which I don't control and nothing which is beyond me. Krishna actually refers to Allah. And then he said, in fact, actually Krishna and Allah are one and the same. So when he said like this, this person was also shocked. But then, you know, the inertia of consciousness remains. You cannot immediately accept something. So she said that, no. But I think there is a confusion in your mind. He said, give me the Bhagavad Gita, I will read it. So from kafir, she actually came to this platform that at least wanting to read the Bhagavad Gita. And she told, I will read the Bhagavad Gita and then whatever doubts you have about Krishna, I will dispel those doubts. This is what she told. This devotee felt happy that at least she has accepted the process. At least she has come to this platform that trying to see religion from a broader perspective. Each one was trying to spread the message, but one while spreading was creating hatred. And this person, a Vaishnava, when he was trying to spread the message, he was spreading love and joy. Like treating the others as one own self with love and concern. Because to your own self, however sinful we are, we don't want to be cruel or harsh to ourselves. We always want to be caressing our own self. So, in the whole process, then his brother actually gave him a booklet. He said, take this booklet and read it. It gives you more insights on our philosophy. He said, okay. They went back. Later, after a few days, again when they met her at her place, he said to the brother, see, I have read this book, and this book itself says that one should not eat, one should not slaughter animals for one's own pleasure of the tongue. And he started means he did not ever actually speak against non-vegetarianism or vegetarianism. But because this person actually gave him a book of Islam only, and in that, the verse, incidentally, the verse number was 108. So he said, see, 108 is our auspicious figure, and the auspicious figure says no killing of animals for the taste of your own tongue also. And then he was also confused what to say. He said, I will look into the matter deeply and get back to you next time. But meanwhile, the patient who was hearing all this, she developed a genuine desire. And then she said that from now on, after that discussion, she said, I will not eat meat. In fact, she went one step ahead. I will not eat anything cooked in my house. I will eat only things which are brought from the hospital. And the devotees from the hospital, this was just 1 month before she actually passed away. Every day the food used to go from the hospital, except for some juices and some soups, tomato soup or something. She would not take anything. She would just eat this, eat the food from the hospital. And when she was in a very... The devotees cared for her a lot. And the few days before she passed away, when she came to the hospital, the devotee asked, "Would you want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" She said, "Yes." So they brought our mobile Jagannath. Every day there is Rath Yatra in hospital. Just see. Prabhupada's mercy. So they brought the Rath Jagannath on the chariot, and she was so grateful seeing the Lord. She in fact took a flower and she held it so close to her heart. She was staring at the Lord for more than 5-6 minutes. And then she said, "Please let me see the Lord before my brother comes." That was a change in her heart, because in their religion, idol worship is condemned. But then she saw the Lord, she took the flower, and till next day she did not leave the flower. She was so much attached to the flower. And later, just after a few days, she passed, she left her body. And before she left her body, there was a devotee with her. He offered her Ganga Jal, Tulsi, all whatever we offer to Vaishnavas. So just see that what here Prabhupada is mentioning about preaching, one act of trying to give some help to others, or kind of preaching, let us say just preaching, it created so much joy and love in someone's heart. Whereas other people, they mislead the religion. In fact, this devotee who told me the story and who was taking care and who expertly preached to these people and shared the joy of Krishna consciousness, he told me not to take his name. But I think I should take his name, because he's done a great service to her. He was Ram Sharan Prabhu from the hospital. He said he won't speak to me if I took his name. But I think who was that devotee who spoke the mantra Om Namo Narayana? Ramu Acharya. I think considering that pastime, he will forgive me. Same parampara. So here Prahlad Maharaj actually says that one must satisfy the Lord by seeing oneself. And Prabhupada immediately, he's asking that everyone must preach this message. Now people who don't have a conception of what is Lord, what is spirituality, how can they ever understand? But yet Srila Prabhupada gives hope. In fact, in one lecture when Prabhupada was giving in United States, he was speaking to all newcomers. And very interestingly, he knew all of the newcomers, they are all addicted to all habits. But he started off, and then within few minutes he said, "All of you must take to Krishna consciousness, no matter what bad habits you have. Everything can be taken care of in Krishna consciousness." And he was encouraging. Meanwhile, a person came, drunkard actually. And he felt that he's just roaming in some other place, and suddenly seeing all the devotees, he said, "Hi all, how are you?" And Prabhupada said, "We are discussing some serious subject, please sit down." So this person said, "Oh, actually, am I in a church?" And he said, "Wait, I'll bring something for all of you." And he went out. And then Prabhupada, he continued his preaching. He was giving hope to those people that however fallen you are, he was in fact speaking to those people who are just very new. He told that Lord Chaitanya's army, he said one of the main important people of his mission was Haridas Thakur, who himself was born in a family of Mohammedans. So he was preaching to them. And he said most of his followers, they were from so-called low-class all the six Goswamis. He said they were known to be from the low class families. He delivered people who were more fallen than, had more bad habits than all of you. And this he is speaking to newcomers. Suddenly this man, drunkard, again comes in with toilet papers and everything. And then he goes, he walks right amongst the devotees, goes to the back door, opens the room of the toilet, puts toilet papers, tissue papers, then puts some tissue papers on the basin, then below the basin. And he says, and then he immediately walks away. Seeing this, Prabhupada smiles. He says, just see. The moment this man saw that there is something genuine being discussed about the God, about the Lord, he wanted to offer some help. So he said, this is the natural tendency of a living entity, to actually love Krishna and to love the devotees. And while speaking such, and then the next late statement immediately, he spoke that, since this world, I think I should read this paragraph, which is very interesting. Immediately he tells, he's actually telling the hearers who actually don't even qualify to practice what to talk of speaking this to others. He's telling them actually that you take this message, and he's actually telling them you become dedicated preachers of Krishna consciousness. Just listen to this paragraph. Most of them have come for the first time. He says, people are suffering for the want of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, each and every one of us should be engaged in the preaching work of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the whole world. Lord Chaitanya, whose picture is in front of our store, has nicely preached this philosophy. And the Lord says, just take my orders, all of you, and you all become spiritual masters. Imagine. Newcomers who are just still intoxicating, and the Guru, Swamiji, is telling you become spiritual masters. They are totally confused what is going on. And he says, so if we take up this missionary work to preach Bhagavad Gita without interpretation and without any material motives, then Krishna says it shall be done. We should not have any attraction for worldly activities, otherwise we can't have Krishna. But that does not mean that we should become inimical to the people of the world. No. Our duty is to give them the highest instruction, that you become Krishna consciousness, and so on. So very interesting that those who have come for the first time, they are now actually getting messages and instruction to become the spiritual master. This actually, when we look in a deeper aspect, we can actually see what was the heart of Srila Prabhupada. How much he actually felt the urgency to give this message and distribute this message, no matter at what condition. It's not actually difficult to understand if one understands the importance of Krishna consciousness. Actually, in Vietnam War also, when United States had conducted this Vietnam War, many of those people, or American soldiers, they did not even actually lift a gun before that. Just few days they have told, lift the gun, and the only thing they were taught was how to hold the gun and shoot, so that you don't shoot here and there actually. It was only where you have to shoot. That was not, they had no expertise whatsoever to actually handle the gun effectively, or even understand the soldier strategies or what. Why? Because it was the need of that hour, the state of emergency and urgency. No matter what your health is or whatever, you just have to join. Many of our sannyasis were part of it. Unbelievable, Chandramouli Maharaj and all such personalities. So we can understand that when Prabhupada is speaking all this, that means he is actually feeling the pain of all the people who are in lack of Krishna consciousness, and he's understanding the urgency. Very difficult to understand. But this is actually following in parampara, not that Prabhupada is actually doing this by his urgency. We see that even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when Prabhupada met him the first time, what did he tell him? When we meet somebody for the first time, we give him laddus and pedas and we call him for our feast and everything, we don't tell him directly that you have come here, start preaching. Because we know that he will go forever. But Bhakti Siddhan, when he met Prabhupada, the very first meetings, incidentally, he told him, you are an educated man. Why don't you preach to the West? So we see that this urgency is actually falling in the parampara. In fact, when this recent bomb blast took place, one devotee was telling. He got so frustrated that something must be done of these people actually. And he said, I think that, you know, our preaching, everything will subside one day. We should actually make a group of people who actually go and wipe off this kind of terrorists. So he was saying like this. And then we are just discussing. That time I actually understood that in a similar situation where this person, this devotee is feeling the need and the urgency that such things should go, otherwise it will become even difficult for us to spread Krishna's glories. We need a favorable government and so on. But when we look back in the history, during the time of freedom struggle, what was the scene? Hundreds and thousands of times more intense than the current scenario. And there are slogans going on by freedom fighters that you give me blood, I will give you freedom. There are leaders conducting Dandi March and Satyagraha and all such things. The whole nation is in that mood. And here, Prabhupada, he was also a practicing devotee. He was kind of tossing both ways, appreciating Krishna consciousness and visiting this revolutionaries also. When he felt a similar urge, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, he actually quoted one of the most historic statements, which is so difficult to apprehend. He said, freedom for India can wait, but Krishna consciousness cannot. When he said this, that was actually the time when it shook Prabhupada's heart and it actually shattered his consciousness. He was deeply touched by the urgency with which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving the message. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, as we feel that only if these things are stopped, then this preaching can go on. But no, in fact, he said that Krishna consciousness is the only solution. And without that, it is impossible. Such clarity of thought, such conviction in the heart. And it was actually with that mood that Srila Prabhupada actually joined the movement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart was so much burning with the desire to preach and to give this message to the world that it was for that reason he actually established the Gaudiya Mutts and the spiritual institutions all over India. In the material world, when any person, actually even as insignificant as a painting, if somebody does a painting of his own and he has a collection, rich people, they open museums and they fund museums so that their painting should be maintained till eternity. That even after they go. So many people preserve their knives and swords and spoons and pens and whatnot, just so that whatever they possessed, even if it is useless, it should be preserved. That is a nature of materialist. We can understand Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a spiritualist. He loved Krishna. His heart was so sublime. And in such a mood, he actually established these Gaudiya Mutts so that people can get Krishna consciousness. We can understand how important these centers must be for him. One whose heart is burning to extend this message, how much important these centers must be. Because it is catering to the main objective, that is to give Krishna consciousness. And for such a place, He said that if you don't have money, you also can tear the walls of this Gaudiya Math and print and distribute books. We can understand that how much their, means when we try to understand the degree of their aggression or their conviction or their desire to give this message to others, the more it's like an abyss. You understand what an abyss is? It's a never-ending hole, a depth in the ocean, never-ending. You go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It just keeps on getting deepening and deepening. So their heart was like an abyss in terms of when it was to try to give this message to others. No end to it. Ready to sacrifice his own lifelong, you know, given his life to set up the Gaudiya Math, and he's telling to tear off the walls. And Prabhupada actually in the same mood, he set up the BVT. So it is actually the urge to practice and distribute this knowledge, urge to practice and distribute this knowledge, which actually sets the mood of our movement. And when it's not surprising, actually. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself had started preaching in English to give this message to others. He actually, first person, he started this printing press called the Vaishnav Depository. And because of his extensive preaching in English language and other languages, he, therefore, after that, he was actually conferred this title of Bhaktivinoda. So we see from, right from our, this verse where Prabhupada Maharaj is telling that one should satisfy the Lord as one thinks for oneself. But Prabhupada immediately goes, what is satisfying the Lord? He said one should preach as one would consider to oneself. So our acharyas, they had the same mood. They understood what it actually means to please Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in fact, he prayed that, oh my Lord, please send a ray of Vishnu in my family so that this message can be distributed. And the same aggression was taken by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur one step ahead. From slapping a Mayavadi to actually making people wear saffron who were not qualified. In fact, the whole purpose for which the saffron was given, awarded, actually this saffron dress was meant only for sannyasis or those who are almost perfected the art of renunciation, established renunciates. But there were Mayavadis who were actually, in the name of saffron, they were preaching so much of impersonalism that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could not tolerate this, that what is this nonsense going on? And therefore, he actually told his brahmacharis that you wear saffron and you preach. Although they were apparently very new or not so mature as an established sannyasi. We can understand somebody is sannyasi for 30 years and somebody is brahmachari for a few years. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, what you all know is more better. He was least concerned. In Kali Yuga, imagine, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said, that renounced order is not for Kali Yuga. Yet the acharyas, they actually established the renounced order. They went immediately giving saffron, just few years of practice, for only one reason. That is to give this message to others. That was the only reason. In fact, today is Ekadashi. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told to his disciples, for the sake of preaching, if you don't have energy and it is Ekadashi, you eat rice, but you go and preach. These are extreme levels, the degrees to which these people wanted to extend themselves. One of the most important vows for Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Ekadashi. He was ready to even break that. And Prabhupada took this one step ahead, each one actually better than other. When somebody said that, such an aggressive preacher Prabhupada was. When somebody said to Prabhupada, somebody is claiming to be Krishna, Prabhupada said, kick him on the face. In fact, it was not literally that you kick him, but Prabhupada said you kick him on the face. You take out your shoes and beat him and say that you are God and I am shoe beating God. So that was his aggression. The mood was not to actually start something like jihad or something. But it was actually we can understand the pain in their heart to extend themselves. The need they felt that everyone must have, any newcomer. And then we can understand. In fact, his mood can be understood so very nicely by this very fact that during the fag end of his life, he established 110 temples. Any person in this world, if he has made a glory in his own life by earning himself or establishing his company or whatever, there is no person who has begun at old age. In fact, when he started building up this movement, he was almost 70 years. We don't hear many stories that he was having some ailments. Most of our brahmacharis, everyone has problems. The recent test in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, everyone has, and many of them have chronic illness. So many deficiencies. We can understand if this is our condition at 25 or 30, Prabhupada must be having lot of sickness, lot of weakness, so many chronic ailments. What we hear is only of the major strokes and here and there. We don't see the other situations. But in that situation with no support at all, 110 temples. Practically no person in the whole mankind, in the history of mankind. At least I don't know if anybody knows, somebody can comment. Somebody has achieved able to do such a noble task. Forget noble, even nobody was able to do such a, like Hitler, even if somebody wanted to do such heinous tasks, you could not do. Nobility takes too much. To do some bad activity does not take much. But in old age, he did such a task. So actually, this is how we actually understand when Prabhupada is telling in the purport. This is what, that is, urge to practice and preach. It's actually what sets the mood. And not that actually that this just came out of just desire to fulfill one's passion. There was a price involved, tremendous amount of sacrifices. At the age of 70, he actually, you know, nobody wants to leave the home. Everyone wants to settle. Even brahmacharis or sannyasis or grihasthas, after some time, everyone wants to settle somewhere. Nobody wants to be like a nomad. You know, preacher's life is nomadic life actually. You settle nowhere, you just keep traveling and traveling. But yet, everyone seeks for some kind of settlement. And Prabhupada got unsettled at an age where nobody thinks at more than 70. He went to the West. And all the problems he got while he was preaching, he could overlook them. So much so that he was deriving ecstasies in these problems. When some person told to Prabhupada, in fact, we can see his ecstasy. When Prabhupada was saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did such a massive task by preaching all over India. Somebody asked him, then why did Mahaprabhu not come to the West? So happily Prabhupada said, gratefully, that Lord Chaitanya left the West for me. Just imagine, an old person, you know, sometimes we would say, oh yeah, if he would have gone, it would have been good. To assist someone is easier, but to lead is such a difficult task. And Prabhupada had to become a leader at the age of 70, at an old age, establish a movement. And still he was grateful. He said, Lord Chaitanya left the West for me. He could not see the challenges and the pains he was going through. But this statement actually shows how much ecstasy he was deriving. Otherwise, how can somebody say this? Unless he feels the pleasure. Not only that, our acharyas, they have for same thing, they have even sacrificed their personal association. Prabhupada, he never could meet his Guru Maharaj many times. But even he mentions, so many places he says that Rupa and Sanatan, they wanted to be in close association of Mahaprabhu. Who does not want to be with the spiritual master? All of us want to be. And if I get a chance to be with my spiritual master, I will be more than happy. You know, be with him, let him preach, assist him, follow him, cook for him and whatnot. But if this is our state, in the conditioned state where we don't have pure love to be in such a holy association, we can understand Rupa and Sanatan, pure devotees, Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how much intense their desire must be to stay together. But what Mahaprabhu told, you both go to Vrindavan. In fact, book printing press started that time only. He said, you start writing books about this Krishna conscious message. You excavate the holy places. Mahaprabhu actually told them to be away from him. They sacrificed their association. Sometimes we cannot understand what it means unless we go through that pain of when we are deeply in love with some spiritual person or with a spiritual master. We can then actually understand a little bit what it must be to actually go. Baldev Prabhu was taking the class on Rupa Goswami. He showed that photograph. When Mahaprabhu left him, he actually collapsed, fainted. You know. But yet, such was the love that even if they fainted, not that they said, oh, now you are going to faint, so we'll stay together. Actually, they lived separately and they preached. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning that preachers have even gone to even sacrifice their own lives, what to speak of places and other things. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was mentioning that Prahlad Maharaj could have conveniently told his father, when his father, what do you learnt at school, he could have told, I learned how to fight with enemies, he could have told. Hiranyakashipu was not expecting a 5-year-old child speaking the details of what he learned. He could have even just spoken some few mundane words and he could have escaped the terrorism of his father. But actually he directly spoke Krishna consciousness. And such a ready to even sacrifice their own lives. Transgressing their also bodily limitation. We see even Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's case, how so much painful condition during his last days, but he would not listen to anyone when he was told that, Maharaj, you take rest, you don't preach, if you don't speak much, you will be able to survive long. In fact, one of his disciples, he gave a very deep insight to this. At least I was very much impressed and it touched my heart a lot. He said that actually, how can somebody tell to these people that you don't give class, don't speak to people, take rest? He said it is violence upon these people. Because their heart is completely made to give themselves for the sake of others, to preach this message in whatever condition. This is their real life. And telling them not to do this activity is like you are killing them even before they are going to die. So he said it is a greater violence to, sometimes we feel, when the spiritual personalities, the spiritual masters, the gurus, they are sick, we would always suggest that, you know, you take rest for 3 months, 6 months, go incognito, and this and that. But they never listen. That is how they reciprocate actually. Because that itself is their life. They cannot live otherwise, even if they are suffering. I saw a spark of this thing when recently Gaur Govind Prabhu was admitted in Jaslok Hospital. Just a day before, of course, he was suffering so much, and Achyutanand Prabhu knows, Sarabhaum Prabhu was also there. Just one day before he was admitted, at around 9:30, he started feeling breathlessness. Already there was whole pain in the body. Every muscle is aching, the neck is aching, the back is aching. The bones are aching, you know, when the bone pains, it is so intense. Every part of his body is paining. And then on top of it, now he started feeling breathlessness. So, and it went on. I thought that after half an hour it will subside and we'll go to take rest. But actually till 2:30 in the morning, four and a half hours, he was just feeling breathlessness. In fact, when other devotees were not there, he told me that, Prabhu, I think that I don't have much time left. That was his state of mind and physical health also. He said, please convey my, it will please ask all the Vaishnavas to forgive all offenses on my behalf, because I cannot actually breathe anymore. And he was really feeling that he's going to die. Such was the condition. So immediately next day they took him to Jaslok hospital. And in that critical condition, he could not actually speak anything. He was in such a bad shape. And in the next bed, there was a patient who was a cancer patient who was also given the red card, soon to go. So some 4 months left. So amazingly, he just asked this patient, what happened to you? He said, cancer, liver cancer, something like that. And he asked his relative, they said he will survive only for few months. This is what doctors say. His condition at that point of time, that particular patient was at least fine. You know, cancer, you can actually eat and do everything. He was roaming very nicely, the other patient. And Gaur Govind Prabhu's condition was even more critical than him, at least that particular point. And yet, in that condition where he could barely speak anything, he started preaching to him. And that lasted, he was telling for almost 2-3 hours, he was speaking to him. And he was telling that, I don't know how I got this energy. I could actually not speak. I was finding it difficult even to chant one round, but seeing this person's condition, such a helpless condition. And then he spoke, please read the 15th chapter and this and that. And his entire family sat. And then he took the Bhagavad Gita. That particular night, that patient slept peacefully. And Gaur Govind Prabhu could not sleep. That was his condition. And next day he was telling that patient that after you spoke to me yesterday, I could sleep peacefully. Now I don't fear anything. Please give me the Bhagavad Gita. And he took the Bhagavad Gita and he started reading. So it's more interesting, in the whole conversation, this patient never asked him, what has happened to you? Just imagine. What an impersonal world. Two patients side by side. This Vaishnava asked him, what happened to you? And he actually gave a solace to him. And he was so satisfied that he forgot to actually even ask him, put a few words. What happened to you? So we see that how devotees, in whichever condition they are, it is such a natural state. That is what Prabhupada says. It is so natural for a living entity to actually give Krishna to others. This fire was so strong. Imagine Prabhupada building 110 temples. 110 temples means deity worship is such an important part. But then what he said? He said that I don't want my followers to actually become Mathamedis. That one who just sit in the temples ringing the bells. Imagine. Hundreds of temples means deity worship is one of the most important aspects. And Prabhupada is actually just as if winding off the whole thing. Don't just sit and ring bells. Unless you go out and preach the holy names of the Lord, give this message to others, it makes no sense. And whatever the challenge is. So that is how Prabhupada actually encouraged others to go beyond their limits, still in whatever condition, not that only after getting mature. In fact, the whole process of becoming mature in Krishna consciousness is beginning to extend ourselves from whichever condition we are in whatever condition. And the sacrifices which we think in Krishna consciousness, sometimes challenges, sometimes difficulties. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur redefines these terms of sacrifice and tolerance. Just recently, when I was mentally so disturbed and so frustrated that doing my own duties in trying to preach somewhat, and Sarvabhauma Prabhu showed me this wonderful bhajan by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Very nice lines. In fact, one devotee said, Bhaktivinod Thakur's bhajans, each line of every bhajan is actually pregnant with Krishna conscious meanings. I felt it so interesting. A pregnant woman, pregnant means, you know, externally they are just one person. But actually it has deeper entities in within. It has a separate existence, you know, it's one person, but it has multiple persons within. So, similarly, this devotee said, each line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan is pregnant with Krishna conscious meanings. Which means that it seems to be one line. Prabhupada says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, one line, but it reveals volumes of scriptures. It has so much within itself. So, one of such bhajans, it actually gave so much solace. When we are frustrated in our responsibilities, we are not actually frustrated. It appears to be frustration. But the pain and the challenges, they kind of... I think I'm getting late. I will just finish in 2 minutes. The pain and challenges are too much. Sri Radha Gopinath ki. That sometimes we are discouraged to go and extend. In fact, in this particular bhajan, he says, Tomara sevaya dukkha hoya jato sei ota parama sukha. He redefines what is happiness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. In your service, whatever misery comes, that actually is the greatest happiness for me. And then further, he says, seva sukha dukkha parama sampada. That these fluctuations in the course of doing service, sometimes happy, sometimes distress, sometimes frustration, sometimes somebody putting you down, sometimes glorifying, all this. What we term this as duality, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, this itself is the treasure. This changing, this sukh and dukkha in the course of preaching, that is the treasure which I cherish. And therefore he says, in fact, he says that he begs to Lord Nityananda that I want to, he says that without Lord Nityananda's mercy, no one can achieve any perfection. And he prays to Lord Nityananda, Diya mora nija charanera chaya. But for what? He says, Namer hatete dibe adhikar. That, O Lord Nityananda, please give me the mercy of your, give me shelter at your lotus feet. So that I can have the privilege and the right to distribute the holy names of the Lord all across. So we understand that all these people, all our acharyas, whenever they asked for the mercy of the Lord or taking the shelter or residence in eternal, but that was with perspective so that they can actually extend. Nowhere they actually said that they would just like to have an eternal existence. Without nothing doing for the conditioned living entities. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Brajvasis are infused with life and therefore they preach to give life to others. So in other words, he says, one who wants to actually become a Brajvasi or eternal resident, he must infuse his life with Krishna consciousness and not that, he should also give to others. So in the conclusion, since our parampara is the same, I would like to speak a few words where Giriraj Maharaj, in one of the lectures on Radhashtami, he was speaking. He told that Gaudiya means we are followers of Srimati Radharani. And he said, what does it mean to follow Radharani in Kali Yuga? He said, that was taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came in the mood of the gopis and the Radharani. And what did he actually teach? That janma sarthak kari kara para upkar. So Giriraj Maharaj says that actually following the footsteps of gopis or Radharani in Kali Yuga in this particular age means actually chanting the holy names and distributing. Not like that sahajiya dancing and this and that. But actually, this is what it means by following the footsteps Everyone wants to be that in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Be a part of some Leela. And that actually is the mood of the moment. Serving in separation. Because preaching means you actually don't preach to Krishna. You know? And if Krishna is next to you, you cannot preach to someone. So, that is actually, in fact, that means it is Vipralamba Bhav, the mood of the moment. Preaching means you extend yourself where Krishna consciousness does not exist, but you help to establish that, and in turn you establish your own spirituality. So in conclusion, one quote by Jesus Christ, very interesting and very wonderful. He says, where Jesus says, the same mood we can understand what a Vaishnava he was. He says, if anyone would come after me, he's telling to his followers, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me. Means that if someone wants to be my follower, denying himself means denying his own whimsical ideas, his own lifestyles or whatever. He must take up to the process which I explain. So he must deny himself and he must take up his own cross. Just like Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ is telling this not to those who are actually mature in Christianity also. He's telling if anyone who wants to follow me, he must take up his own cross. Means he must be prepared to be crucified till that extent he's telling. And then he must follow me. And then he says for whoever wants to save his life will lose it anyways. Because at the time of death we are going to lose. But whoever loses his life for my sake will get it. That is what Jesus Christ says. I'll read it once again. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, he will find it. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said to Brahmanand, he said, Pran ache yar se hetu prachar. You have life, then the hetu, the purpose of that life is to preach, to extend oneself in whichever condition one is. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. I'm sorry for being late.